believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
Everybody, no more backwards thinking, time for thinking ahead. Welcome, welcome listeners all around this beautiful world. And I am just so happy and glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family. I am Kathy Clyburn, your host for Bring Back the Family, block by block, focusing on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Let me say it again. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind, okay? And so first we want to acknowledge God with the scripture and a prayer. And we have our host with us this evening. And so I just want to introduce our host that we have this evening. We have our very own Jacqueline Vandegrift. We have Rebecca Johnson. We have Callie Pierce. Our youth and young adult, Jacob Ritron. And our adult host, Shania Cox. And our brilliant, awesome, wrap it up host, Pastor from Running for Christ Ministries, and his biblical perspective in telling us what God says and all about what we talk about. What a treat. Okay? Jacob is today having his pinning at Ecorse High School, so he's graduating this year. And we're happy for him. And he's having his pinning this evening. Okay, so we want to wish him well with that. Okay, so we're going to start with our scripture. Hi, Ms. Jackie, are you with us? We'll do our scripture first.
Sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, we can.
I don't know what. I lost the signal. But anyway, hello, everybody. Hello, all family of Miss Kathy Clyburn. Bring back the family. Hello, everybody, all the hosts and the listening audience. I want to thank you for this day, thanking God for this day. So I'm going to read Romans 12, 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility serious. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, Do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. What is wrong? Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers and hearers and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Jacqueline Vandergrift. You know how I love those scriptures. I'm Sister Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to open us up in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our Lord, we're so grateful that we serve a loving, compassionate, faithful, forgiving God that hears and listens and answers and is able and who is bigger than all our problems. We thank you for all the work you have already done and for lessons learned and for answered prayers. We thank you for going ahead of us to make this new day, for breath and strength and this moment to talk to you. We thank you for access to your throne to come and make new requests when we have already received so much. We are grateful that you thought of each of us and sent Jesus to volunteer to save us. We thank you for your goodness and for victories over spiritual wickedness in high places. We thank you for your patience with us as we learn and grow and fall short every day. Thank you for every hand that helps the production of this show. We thank you for each person listening or having a word to say in Bring Back the Family tonight. We ask for strength in tough times. We ask that you heal, bless, keep, comfort, and deliver every person under the sound of my voice, especially the youth that are being influenced by the world. We pray that you keep them safe from the enemy's schemes and cover them with the blood of Jesus. We ask that you turn all our struggles into testimony. We ask that you send the perfect worker across the paths of the lost to give them a new understanding of you so that they will accept this gift of salvation that you are still offering through Jesus. We ask that you give us the wisdom to do your will in bringing back the family. We ask for all these things with thanksgiving in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Jackie and Sister Rebecca. We need those prayers and we need those scriptures. We need them. So thank you. Okay, so Bring Back the Family. It is a call for us to wake up, to get engaged, make a difference. It's time for reform, change, awareness, hope, and accountability. It encourages all people to do better because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. So who is responsible and who is willing to take the responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth to live in? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get to it? What are we going to make up in our minds to do? Okay? Are we ready to get busy with the challenges and the changes and the support and the sacrifices? Meeting our youth and people just where they are in order to make a difference in this world. Who is willing? Who is willing? Who is going to be in charge of the next chapter, passing the torch, running this race, doing great things because we prepared them? We could do this. parents did it for us. They were focused and spent time, quality time, so that we would not be a nuisance or bother to the community, okay? Those are our parents. They did that for us. And we have a responsibility to do it for the next generation, okay? We just, just imagine that. What was done for us, okay? Picture it. What was done for us? And we're able to make it. We have everything we need to make it, all the tools, okay? And so it's our responsibility to make sure that our youth, the next generation, will be able to make it. Just as simple as that. We don't want them out there terrorizing our neighbors and the neighborhood and the community, okay? So we want things better. We have to make it better. So Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to others all around this beautiful world. And all they need is a good foundation. And that foundation as parents and community comes from me and you. Someone did it for us, so we have to do the same for them. So what do we propose? Bring back the family. Block by block, focusing on the youth, propose that we do this block by block. Do something for the youth on your block. We were given what we needed to make it, so we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make it, okay? And it is just simply giving back, giving more than what we had. It's a different day and time now, a different generational mindset, and we just have to meet them right where they are. And that's what we propose to do, block by block, sharing, caring, just love, encouragement, being a positive role model, a good example that our youth can see, learn, and live by. Okay? Give them some books, workbooks. Take them on some outings, some field trips. Book club. We know what we had, and we know what was given to us, and we know what kind of time it took in order for our kids and our youth to be successful, for us to be successful, and whatever we have done ourselves for the next generation, we should know what it takes by now to get them on their feet and get them headed in the right direction. It's all up to us. It's us. These are our kids. They all our kids. They're all God's kids, and he don't treat them no different. And so we shouldn't treat any kid any different. They are all ours. And we should love on them and make sure that we want the best for each and every one of them. I don't care who birthed them, whose kid they are. They all deserve to have a life that's pleasing so that they can be good, productive citizens. That's what we want. Do we all agree with that? Is that what we want? Okay. So today we're going to talk about resources to prepare our youth for the future. The investment, making sure our youth have what they need to make in this world so they can be good, productive citizens. It's important to be good, productive citizens. We're going to discuss careers and careers and professions that we don't even hear about. Ms. Jackie calls it a secret society. Okay, we're going to provide resources that can give our youth a head start and a direction and the success, you know, to start the success of their future. Okay? We want to give our youth the capabilities and equip them with the tools they need for life. Resources. We want to empower them. Get them empowered. They need to hear about some of these careers and these professions that out here that they've never heard about. They don't hear us talk about it in the house. So if we tell you, you could tell them. Okay? These careers, jobs, professions, they pay a lot of money. No wonder it's a secret. Wonder it's a secret. You know, it's a secret. And so when you start to see some of these numbers that you're going to hear about tonight and some of these careers, you're going to be like, wow, you know, why didn't somebody tell me? Okay? But now it's our chance. Since we didn't get what we needed, you know, as far as, you know, these big number jobs and careers, then we need to give it to the next generation so that they can be okay. Okay? We got, we have a Beatrice Cowan is going to come with some resources and jobs information. And we're gonna, if she's ready, we can start with you, A.D. Beatrice Cowan, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for having me. I want to start with some information. As we know, summer's coming up, and a lot of times our kids don't have anything to do. It's for the summer program for Cranbrook Horizon Bound program. The deadline is probably passed to be able to do the residential. So the residential program is that from Sunday through Friday, your kids are living on campus at Cranbrook. This is one of the top private schools in the state of Michigan, and they work with the Horizon Upward Bound program. So the program they have is they have summer session and then they have a fall session. So their fall sessions are on Saturdays. So I encourage you, if this is something that you think that your child may be interested in, starting on the Saturday program and then eventually growing into the program that's going to be available for the 8th to 12th graders, so you will reach out to Cranbrook. Let me pull that number up. One moment. And what did I do? Sorry. Thought I had that number pulled up. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, here it is. I apologize. So the Cranbrook phone number is 248-5-3184, and I'm going to repeat that. It is 248-645-3184. So the program, the hub, which is, they call it, it's a 6-week summer residential program, and then the Saturday is 28 Saturdays, the academic program. All righty. So that's one program that we have for our youth. Another program is the Cook Young Scholars Program. This is a program where they're supporting, young adults, our kids, from grade 7 to high, starting grade 7 going to high school. So they're currently accepting applications up to May 9th. And this, I'm going to send Kathy, because let me to tell it all to you. You're probably going to forget it, but I just wanted to give you, let you know that some of these programs that's coming available is better if I can send it to Kathy, then she could post it, on her site, and then you'll have the opportunity to reach it, and then you'll have all the contact information on some of these programs. And then next program is one of my favorites. The summer enrollment for DAPSET summer camps will begin on April 15th. And DAPSET has some type of class from kindergarten through 12th. So if your little kindergartners are interested in doing something on Saturdays, and then they also have a summer, and then they're getting ready to go into their summer program. And DAPSET's contact phone number is 313-831-3050. Again, their number 313-831-3050. The next found out about, it's called Math for Success. They partner with DAPSET, and what they do is they focus on math and STEM and everything, and they even offer private tutoring, currently they have a $500 scholarship that's for college. The application deadline is going to be April 30th. And some of the requirements, of course, you have to be a U.S. citizen. And then you have to have a 2.5 GPA. And they will need a copy of your SAT or ACT test scores to qualify for this. It's $500. And we can see the cost of everything is rising, so every dollar counts. So this will be a $500 scholarship. And the contact number for more information on that is 313-744-5730. And once again, for the $500 scholarship, that phone number is 313-744-30. And some of the other things that the Math for Success, they're, like I said, math and STEM education, they offer one-on-one tutoring. They have small group tutorings. They also help with SAT, ACT prep. They have custom math courses and then, of course, STEM education courses that they help, that they have. So you can reach out that same number that I gave you for the program for anything that's related to them. And that, again, is 313-744-5730. And let me see. And so one of the things that Kathy was talking about, the thing, programs that we didn't even know about, or most of us, you know, everybody thought they had to go to college. You had to go to college to be a professional, you know, but college isn't for everyone. So for some of those, there's all type of certifications now. A lot of companies are accepting certifications over, the degrees. And one thing that helps for individuals, it won't cost you as much to get them. You can look online and pull up some of the certifications. And in our area, you can look up to see what the salary is. One of the programs that I know about, like, it's called a product owner certification. So in Michigan, I looked up the mid-salary for that, and I think it was like $170,000. So can you imagine coming out of high school earning that type of money and you have no debt? You have the money that you have to pay for your certifications, and usually certifications aren't that expensive. Some of them may run like maybe $1,000, but paying $1,000 compared to being $100,000 in student loan debt, that's a big difference. So another program that DAFSET and the city of Detroit is currently partnering with for anyone from the ages 14 to 24, this will be for a paid summer experience to learn the Python programming. They're looking for anyone from 14 to 24. So not only are you going to get the certification, they're going to pay you while you're getting the certification to learn this, and they're going to give it – so you're going to get – I mean – it's the best of both worlds. And they started doing the registration, and it is only for Detroit residents only. And what you can go to is the Grow Detroit Youth Young Talent Program, and it will give you, you can go to G as in George, D as in David, Y as in Yellow, T as in Tom.org. Let me repeat that again. G is in George, D is in David, Y is in Yellow, T is in Tom.org, and you can register and for this program, and it'll have more information. So you can go there, or you can go to the DAFSET website and also get additional information. So sit down with your kids and find out what they possibly may be interested in. Pull up some of these certifications. You know, some of them like to play games and things like that. There's different certifications they can get, and you know, they can come out and be productive, you know, young people right then and there instead of going into debt. And it's so much much opportunity and so many different certifications for so different many things that our kids and our community may not be aware of. So, like I said, if anybody has any questions or need any assistance looking up for different certifications or different programs for your child, your grandchild, your niece, or anyone in the community, always just you can reach out to Kathy. She'll get in touch with me, and I'll do my very best, you know, to find out what's needed. Thank you, and if you have any questions, please just let me know. I'll be on.
That is excellent, excellent. Everybody don't, you know, are not maybe college bound, like you said, all these certificate programs that they can take up, and they could make six figures with some of these programs, like air traffic controller. Now for that, the DATSEP, you said that's from kindergarten to 12th grade. And it's just on Saturday. What did you say about the summer program?
The summer program runs, I think most of the programs, if they don't run 5 days a week, they run at least 3 days a week because it's a summer program. So they're in there, like, they try to have the kids in there all week to do DAPSET. So, and then once the school year, it's just Saturday.
Oh, during the school year. Okay.
Right.
Okay, and so you just call that number and they'll tell you about the summer program, right?
You can type DAPSET. You can type D as in David, A as in Anthony, P as in Paul, C as in Charles, E as in Edward, P as in Paul. And if I'm remembering this right, it's been a long time since my school assessment, is Detroit Area Pre-College Engineering Program. That's what the acronym stands for.
Right. Get them ready for engineering. Mm-hmm.
Yep, and math and science. And they do, and now what they do is also my grandson did a program, and what they're doing now in the fifth grade, they have them writing a paper, a thesis. They're getting them ready early. Instead of waiting to high school, they're getting them in middle school. So they have them write, like, if they're taking whatever class they're taking, they usually have them write a paper on it so they can learn and they can start developing earlier instead of later.
Right, right. You have to do everything early. And they have, like, things for little ones. You know, even 3- and 4-year-olds, they get them ready for their speech, their wording, and writing. Yeah,
that's one of the reasons why I love DAPSET. It's K through 12. I mean, when my son first did it, I think it was like, it was only 6th grade through 12th grade. So they have grown, and not just expanding from K through 12, their partnership with other colleges in the state of Michigan and outside the state of Michigan, because then once you go onto their website and you look at their classes, they're holding classes at U of M Ann Arbor. U of M Ann Arbor usually sends their bus down to pick up our kids. They're at Lawrence Tech. They're at Wayne State. They're giving them this college experience, you know, to come on to their campuses and to see if this is something that they would like to do, but at least they're opening them up to that experience. It's like I said, it's an awesome program, and I can't too much. I love that program, so that's one of the good ones. The Math Core program is another good program, but they have closed their applications for summer. But I'm gonna reach out because usually if they haven't filled the spots, they'll leave it open. I'm gonna call Monday to their engineering program. So Math Core is taught at Wayne State University by Wayne State engineering students. So this program is nothing but math. So they tell you, they test your kids when you're coming in. They want to know how much they know. And they tell you no kid is going to get more than 3 or 4 right. But by the time they graduate from that program, they will at least get 8 or all of them right. Because they're focusing on math. They know all the ins and the outs of math and everything. But I would definitely call on Monday and find out, and I'll let you know about that, Kathy.
All right. Good deal. Good information. Very good information. It's so important to give them all the experiences that they could get early. And I, you know, I'm learning that if you, you know, you start them like 2-3 years old, you get them up early in the morning and you put a book in their hand and start reading to them, like if you do that every morning, that'll train them and get them used to that. And then they'll look forward to getting up every morning, getting their book to read. And that will continue on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, train up a child. Okay, thank you, Ms. A.B. We will look forward to, you know, receiving more information in the future. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Rebecca, what you got?
All right. I am holding on to 10 high-paying careers of 2024, and I'm wondering if me and Ms. Vandergriff are going to overlap, so let's see. These careers are new, and they certainly weren't thought of when I was coming out of high school, but these are in-demand careers, and we'll start with the lowest-paying one first. And so that's number 10, and it's called Data Scientist. And I had to look up all of these job openings because I'm not familiar with any of this. So data scientists help companies interpret and manage data and solve complex problems using expertise in a variety of data niches. So they generally have a foundation in computer science and computer modeling and statistics, analytics, and math, coupled with a strong business sense. So Google and Facebook and Amazon are constantly looking for this type of analyst, and they generally make $120K. All right, that brings us to number 9, which is a cloud solution architect. Never heard of it, so I had to look it up. They are responsible for an organization's cloud computing system. So they work with cloud technology to develop cloud adoption plans and determine cloud application design and create systems for managing and monitoring and maintaining the cloud system. Now, I've used the cloud before, and I know what it is, but I really don't know what I just said. But it pays $130,000 a year. Okay, next up, number 8 is called an artificial intelligence engineer. So AI engineers are responsible for developing the programming and the training, the complex networks of algorithms that make up AI so they can function like a human brain. The role requires combined expertise in software development, programming, data science, and data engineering. IBM and Tesla are looking for this skill set, and it pays, on average, $135,000. And this is a perfect example of how AI is creating jobs. Okay, and now we come to number 7. And this is a cybersecurity manager. Now, we've talked about this on the show before. The cybersecurity manager devises and creates policies to protect digital systems and assets. So, in addition, they develop guidelines and protocols for an organization's employees on handling systems and information. So, since data breaches are on the rise, you can study this online and get a certificate, like Vitrius was talking about, for 6 months to a year and learn it without college, although you can also learn it in college. But you could skip college and hurry up and get a position in this field because of the high demand. So the wickedness in the world is equaling a paycheck. And that brings us to number 6. And those are blockchain developers.
It has to do with Bitcoin. It says a blockchain developer is a key player in developing and implementing blockchain technology. They need to have a strong understanding of cryptography, computer science, and mathematics. And they make $145,000 a year on average. That brings us to number five. They call them DevOps engineers. So they introduce processes and tools and methodologies to balance the needs between the development team and the operations team. So in a lot of companies, these two teams are separate and they don't work together. So they will hire this DevOps engineer to go between the two teams and figure out how to roll out software. And since they'll be working across two teams, they also need to possess interpersonal skills. They're going to need soft skills. And I think we talked about that on the show before. And here are a list of some soft skills that we all need. Negotiation, patience, teamwork, empathy, problem solving, time management, active listening, integrity, leadership, critical thinking, nonverbal communication, dependability, and flexibility. And I think there's more, but that was my list. That brings us to number four, machine learning engineers. Never heard of it. I had to look it up. It's a person who designs and builds self-running artificial intelligence systems. So they work on the data science team, and their tasks include researching, building, and designing AI, responsible for machine learning and maintaining and improving existing AI systems. They also research and set up machine learning algorithms and tools. And so Apple and Netflix are examples of companies looking for people to fill this role for $155,000. Then that brings us to number three, solutions architect. They design complex systems for businesses. They design and implement IT systems. And they're using IT systems to solve problems in businesses. So their role starts with gathering the requirements and understanding the specifications, and then evaluating the systems that they already have, and then working closely with the client to discover the right solution. For $160,000, solutions architect. Then number two is a product manager. So these are visionaries behind successful products. And Apple and Google look for people to fill this role. And they typically need a bachelor's degree in a related field like business management or supply chain and operations management, business administration, computer science, or economics. And if you get a job as a product manager, you can make $170,000 a year. And let me get a drum roll for number one. It's a chief artificial intelligence officer, what they are now calling a CAIO. So it's a C-suite level executive. So they sit over there with the CEO and the CFO and the COO. Now they have come up with this CAIO, and all companies are scrambling to get themselves a CAIO. And this is an urgent hiring priority for companies that are preparing for the future. So this person must be able to communicate AI in layman's terms so other decision makers can understand. To modernize the processes with AI, ensuring that AI is used with ethics and governance in mind, and in building an AI culture. And they make $180K. And that is another perfect example of how AI is creating jobs. So that's my whole list. I look forward to hearing what Jacqueline Vanderbilt has.
Popping that was awesome, because I did come across a program that it's almost like different credits that a person can take, and it's at a reasonable price. I think for a part of it was like $200 and some, and the colleges accept these credits that you can take online to shorten your stay at the university. And I think that because things are moving so fast, that's an awesome list. And I'm so thankful about to hear about these certifications again, because I believe, Ms. Kathy and I and Ms. Verbecker and Ms. Price, we were talking about that, and Pastor Old chimed in, and we were saying about these certifications sometime back and how important they were. But I'm speaking about something else. And as I've been going through this journey, every level of a degree is valuable. Associate's degree is valuable because you're taking a block of classes that the universities can't chip away at once you receive that full associate's degree. They have to take that block of 60 credits over into a BA course, which knocks it down, where the person has less time to go to a four-year college. It's knocking it down to two. So I went back and I saw something, and I said, now, we sometimes don't look at the ones that might not have been mature enough to go to college when they first got out of high school, might have had a fear to go to college at that time, and now they are settled, they're more experienced, they're more have that dream and that drive to get something taken care of. And I think that Ms. Kathy had brought up the facts that, like, positions that were short in the medical field, like x-ray technicians, therapists, and things of that nature. Well, these jobs pay a decent salary. And so Michigan has came up with what they call is the Michigan Reconnect. And it's for anyone that is 21 through 24. And we want our young people to go online, Google Michigan Reconnect. That's what it's called, Michigan Reconnect. And what they are doing is helping our young people school almost free. The FAFSA, grants, Pell grants and things of that nature, if you qualify for it, that will be placed first. And then the difference of what's owed, they have criteria here, like complete an online application. We all know we have to do that. but we have to take time to do it. And it's not as challenging as you think. Submit a transcript. And usually, if you graduate from a Michigan high school, order your transcript from Parchment.com, Parchment.com. Create an online account and provide a basic information, and it costs $3.25 to order a transcript, and you must use a credit card to pay for it, okay? So if you complete a high school equivalent exam, including a GED, a HISET, and or a TASC, order your transcript. And you need to look into that because we got it. One thing about it is we don't want to leave ourselves open, young people, because if you leave yourself open, then what happens is that when the change of things come about, you will wind up in a position where you might be out of the market because things are moving so fast. So reconnect expansion for 21 to 24, but they do have other programs for people that is a little bit older also. So you want to apply. The eligibility requirements must be at least 21 years of age. Apply and enroll in a community or tribal college no later than fall semester 2024. Complete the FAFSA application. Have lived in Michigan since July of the previous year and have a high school diploma or equivalent or certificate of completion. Now, so anybody that needs to reconnect, rethink about it, that associate's degree is a two-year course. Time moves by so fast. We'll be finishing that. It's, you know, we can give up 2 years to be able to be stable. That's the way we look at it, one step at a time. Now, Michigan tuition grants are available also. It's available for undergrad Michigan residents with financial needs who plan to attend or are attending a Michigan independent college. Eligibility, student must demonstrate a financial need, enroll at least half time, possess a high school diploma or equivalent. Be a Michigan resident since, you know, July, the same thing. And U.S. citizen, permanent resident, okay, or a pool refugee. For renewal must be institution satisfactory academic program. Not be incarcerated. Cannot be enrolled in a course of study leading to a degree in theology, divinity, or religious education, and not be default in federal student loan. Okay. Pull that information up, and all of these sites have, you can go on Michigan website, you can Google it, and it will come right up, okay? So that's some of the things that I was looking at. And then one called Tuition Incentive Program. And this has almost the same. Students must have or have had a Medicaid coverage for 24 months within the last 36-month period between the ages of 9. And saying here is that obtain a high school diploma and recognition equivalent prior to the age of 20. Students who attend a state-approved early middle college have until age 21. So what I'm saying here is that there's something open for everybody. Okay? Now, TIP is another state program. TIP is an incentive program, and it has two phases, phase one and phase two. The program phase one, students must begin using TIP to enroll in the participated college within 4 years of high school graduation. Okay. TIP benefits cannot exceed 80 semester or 120 term credits. So that's saying that you can't use TIP after you get a bachelor's degree. That's what it's saying here. But one thing we have to be aware of when we start these colleges, it says phase two, you must complete it within 30 months. So what they're saying is that they want serious people to apply. So if you're going to do it, try to do it and be consistent to get it done step by step. Let's take baby steps, and that's what I wanted to the ones that might have the fear of going back to school. And a lot of times a lot of these schools are doing online schools where you can do if you're working on a job, you still have the ability to do this online study as well. So that's what I have, Ms. Kathy. That's been a great show, and I'm going to turn it back over to you.
That information was great. If anybody knows, they would like to press one, and I would open your mind. If you press one, if you have something you want to talk about, you can press one. But everything that was spoken of today was great, good information, and all we need to do is get our young people motivated and empower them with information and things that they can do. We got to let them know that they can do these things, and these careers and these professions are for them too. Okay, I looked up a few careers with FEMA, the management, emergency management. They have like a community planner, $90,000, inventory specialist, $117,000 a year, a grant management specialist, $128,000 a year. You know, we don't hear about these things. We hear about community planners, but we don't hear about it enough that, you know, we hear it in our households, you know, that our kids, they have gifts and talents, and they might have gifts and talents and qualify for these positions. But if they don't hear about them, they won't know to go and invest cash. A lot of engineering positions, $97,000. These jobs are for our kids, too. They are. They're for our kids, too. A program languager, a person that program languages. That's like writing computer programs. And those are going to be in high demand. They said the best ones as far as the program is the JavaScript and the Python. And so that's sort of like coding and computer programming and things like that, but they call it program languages. And some of those, in that one program, you can learn how to be a programmer in 6 to 12 months and make $97,000, okay? Cybersecurity, 6-month program, costs about $8,500 to invest in that program. And you can make $70,000 to $90,000. Okay? So it's so many careers out there that our kids do, but if we don't talk about it in our homes, if we don't tell them how great they are and make sure that they're reading and writing and doing math problems and learning new words, you know, like I said, start a book club, start a math club, start something on your block to get your kids and the youth interested in school and interested in wanting to be something, interested in what they're supposed to be doing and what's for them. What would you rather invest in? Would you rather invest in the community and our youth that we see every day, or are we going to invest in the prison system? Which one? You know, which one would you rather invest in? Where do we want to see our kids going? Where do we want to see them go? Okay? So it's so important because we don't like what we see right now, what's going on around us. And it's getting closer and closer to us, okay? So let's do our best. Let's uplift these kids. Let's uplift our youth. Let's uplift them. Let's uplift the parents. Let's get along with each other and encourage the parents to do better with their children if they're not, and if they are, you know, encourage them and tell them they're doing a good job. My nieces and nephews lost their dad recently. Boy, but he did make sure that they had what they need to make it before he left here. And, you know, life is so untimely. And, you know, they're able to just go on and be able to look forward to something. Just think if they didn't have anything to look forward to and their dad, you know, just suddenly disappeared on them, okay? But they have a lot to look forward to. They're all on their way. My niece is leaving on Monday to go to California with her new job, Hormel Foods. And she had reservations about going because she did just lose her dad, and that was hard for her. But she's going, and they're paying her lots of money. And she, you know, she's just going to spread her wings. And she has a lot of family support and a lot of encouragement, and that's what these young people need. They need to be encouraged. They do. I don't care what they're doing. Let's keep encouraging them. They're going through a lot these days. And it's a lot of peer pressure. It's just a lot going on around them. We need to try to understand them and get into their world and have some conversation for them and have an open ear to listen so that we know what they're going through, so we know what they need. Okay? So, yeah, they have to be able to hear everything that Ms. Rebecca talked about, everything that Ms. Jackie talked about, all these careers. They need to hear these things, okay? And so, and that's our goal, is to prepare our youth so that they can have what they need to make it in this world, okay? Hey, good show, good information. Thank you, AV, for all the information, you know, you gave us for the little people. Those are good programs. The what is that school? That they can go to Cranbrook for a week.
Cranbrook.
Excellent program. I know a grandmother that prepared her granddaughter to go to that school. And it makes them better. It makes them better. And they get those opportunities, and it makes them want to do better. It makes them want to get on that level of, you know, just going as far as they could go. So,
right.
Yeah. And so those programs are good. The DAPSET program is good. I had some young kids in it, and they excelled in it. So those programs are good. And you get them started early, then they'll get used to wanting to go to school. They'll get used to those programs. They'll get used to wanting to you know, just read, write, do math. They'll want to do those things if we get them started early to wanting to do it and to love to study and love to read and love to go to school. We have to start them early. Yeah, that was that 0 to 5, 0 to 7, where they're really engaged in learning, and that's when they learn the most. And I think they said after 7 years old, eight, their brain disengage, and then they start learning, you know, everything around them. People start teaching them, you know, the bad habits and learn things that we might not want them to learn. So that's why we always have to be in their ear, always have to be there for them and guide them and lead them where they should be going. And, you know, and then one thing that our kids need, they need to get back into church, back in a Sunday school, and that's the way for them to read as well. So if you're going to pick up some little magazines, some books or something, pick up some little Bibles about some stories that they have about the Bible. They have them at the Dollar Tree for $1.25 now, and it tells all about all the stories in the Bible. So that's a good way for them to read, and then once they get older, they'll learn, okay, these are the stories that we read in those pamphlets that's in this book here, in this Bible. That's going to lead us and guide us and keep us on the straight and narrow. It's all relevant, it's all important, and they need every bit of it. And it's just a way for them to read. And they're good stories, so and they're stories that they'll remember, and they'll recall when they hear them again later in life. So good show. We're going to bring Pastor O on, and let me see if anybody else have anything that they wanted to share. You can press 1 right now, and, you know, you can share what you have. We just want to wish Jacob Ripbron and his pinning today at Equus High School. He's a senior. Let's say Jonathan Tate's son, little John is going to be graduating as well. And want to congratulate Shania Cox for going, you know, moving to California and starting her career and her life. We just wish them all well. And anybody else that's graduating this year, we're going to wish them well and support them in everything that they're doing. Okay? All right. So, hey, let's see where Pastor O is. There you go. Pastor O, you with us?
Hey, how you doing this evening?
Just wonderful, wonderful. How are you?
I am good and working on gooder. On my way to gooder rest.
Gooder rest.
Right. You know, I was listening to you guys and talking, and you know, all these resources and opportunities that you know, I would like to say the Lord has made available, and these are just tools that we need to help our children to succeed. And it's not a scarcity of tools. It's a lot out there, you know, to help our young people become better people and live better lives.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I had one person that wanted to say something.
Okay.
I'm sorry. 5524. Stand by, Pastor.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Hello. Welcome to
Hi, this is Kaylee. Thank you. I just wanted to make, first of all, I hope everybody is doing well. And thank you for receiving me, Miss Kathy.
Hey, my book club lady, teacher, mom,
yes,
and the cool
yes,
kids
ma'am.
Book club. Yes.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You. That's the cool kids book club, Big Mama. Yeah.
Hi. And I just had a grandbaby, a second grandbaby, little boy, and all prayers out to him. He came a month early, so he's still acclimating himself to the world and growing. And when God is ready, he'll come home.
Oh, great, congrats.
Yes, thank you. But, you know, I wanted to say something about, you know, working with the kids on higher education and employment. They spoke in the news today regarding kids being financially educated. And I used to be a member of the Junior Achievement where Rocket Mortgage sponsored it, and they gave the kids that education on financial responsibility and how important it is in the aspects of their lives. I thought about that with the careers going on, as well as, you know, just kids getting a job in general and being able to hold on to it. And it's a process for them to, first of all, be able to fill out that application, present a resume, go to an interview, pass that interview, then sustain that job if they receive the job. And nowadays, it just seems like we need to put a lot of emphasis in it to kids because so many people are impatient. They want those big numbers in the very beginning instead of building up to it. So those small task-oriented type projects that help them attain the larger goal is really important, and that they can understand how important it is to be patient when trying to get to your goals and understanding what could be an obstruction, you know, to turn that from an inopportune time to an opportune time. Because in anything that we fail, we learn and we progress. And right now, it's like all's not well and I'm doomed if I fail, opposed to looking at it as a skill builder. Because everyone won't get those big jobs, and the AI, the people who can manipulate and work those AIs, that's great. But what the kids fail to understand is for each AI that goes out there, it's between 5 and 10 jobs that are leaving. And at some point in time, the skill set will be extremely high, and the money will be very low unless they're able to make themselves pleasant. You know, this is an attractive deal. Let's take this person on board. So I just wanted to put it out there that perhaps one day we can set up some mock career visits, or, you know, how they have the job fairs, career fairs. Maybe we can just present it where, you know, have those mock ones where we actually work with the kids on submitting these applications and presenting a resume and the things that they need to do when they enter an interview. Because back when we were growing up, you had the power suits you wore as part of your presentation for an interview. People nowadays, they go very, very casual to an interview and are not considered those ideal prospects that they want when they come business-oriented attire. Well, what's your take on that before Pastor O joins in?
Excellent. It's very much needed, very much needed, because they're not being trained right now. They have to have personality. They have to have, you know, social skills and things like that. And so, yeah, that's right on with that career, my career. Set up the mock presentation. Very good, yes. I think that's very important. Yeah. I mean, because even in the, you know, you hear a lot of complaints about, like, the nursing home facilities and care places like that. They just don't get the kind of love and care that they used to get back in the day. It's very different now. And so, yes, very much needed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Okay. Oh, where are you? We'll see you tomorrow at the book club.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Let me see. Did anybody else want to comment on that?
Okay. Yeah, I want to say that.
Oh, sorry.
I hope we talk about that again. That's all. Because I used to work in workforce development, and I have a lot of examples saved of mistakes that people would make on an interview. And you would think that most people would know not to fight on your first day and things like that. But I have a long list of incidences I would like to share.
Hello, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry. Just to ask this real quick so we can get Pastor O up. I like that idea, but also I saw on the news, I don't know if they still have this, like Dearborn High Schools, they were, Henry Ford Community College in Dearborn was had a program where the kids were coming in and they were also teaching them about the things that we learned in home ec. They don't have home ec anymore, but it's like they have debit cards. They swipe. Pastor preaches about that all the time, but a different, you know, they swipe. They never know what their balances are. And I was talking to somebody at the credit union, and she said if she told me how much money they made on NSF fees from people just swiping, my head would implode. And I said, no, I believe it. Nobody writes down. They just swipe. And the NSF fees, oh, my check gonna hit. It'll cover it, but you're short. These are things that they need to understand. You need to know what your money is and balance it out. They don't write anything out, but to incorporate that into something to let them know that, you know, when you go to the store and stuff like that and you swipe, you need to deduct that from, you need to know where you're at. So that's just something else I was thinking about. Sorry. All right, pass off.
Okay. All right,
pass it over there for you. Thanks, everybody. Okay. Good stuff. With all this good stuff going on, all we have to do is pray for parents to get involved. You know, somebody who are the guardian, whoever that guardian is, to want to take the lead, the one who has the, you know, the bully pulpit toward that child, you know what I mean, has the biggest voice, the loudest voice they hear. That's the person that we got to reach, because if we can get to that person, because Satan is either going to use that person to block or to use that person to bring them on in. Or God wants to use them, and Satan wants to use them. So that's the battle that we have to fight. But we do have to make preparations, and we do have to have things prepared. Jesus had a gospel prepared. Our feet are supposed to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, which Jesus had all the time. But it was like with the young rich young ruler, not everybody is accepted, but we still have to make the offer. You know, I was listening as you guys were talking about resources for our young people, and I thank God that he has people who are passionate enough about this, because imagine if nobody talked about it, nobody did anything. I mean, you know, it's not easy. I'm sure anybody who's gotten into the ministry of helping people have found out that it's really not easy helping people, especially the people who need help. Sometimes you have to convince them that they need help. Sometimes you have to serve the help up to them on a platter. You go through all kinds of things trying to help people. It's not easy. There's work involved. Even when Jesus fed the 5,000, I mean, the 12 disciples had to feed the 5,000. They literally had to put on waiter clothes and go out and wait on people. And then after that, they became the busboys. Now, you're talking about 20,000 people, because they didn't count the women and the children, right? And so you're talking about upwards of 20,000 people, and they have to be the bus boys for those people. So it's not easy helping people. You know, as I was listening and wondering, Lord, what will I say tonight? What do you want? How do you want to close this out? And I came across 15 passages of scriptures between the Old and New Testament, 9 in the Old, 6 in the New. And they all have to do with little ones. The little ones. Who are the little ones? You know, in the New Testament, technically some will say the little ones are all of God's children, all of us, because in his sight we'll always be his children. We will there'll never come a time in existence when we won't be his children. Okay, so technically you could say we're all the little ones. But when you read these passages, 9 in the Old Testament, 6 in the New Testament, what you find is children. It's talking about children. It's not talking about all God's children. Because we're his children, we'll always be his children. This is literally talking about children. And what I noticed out of these 15 verses, these children, these little ones were affected by the parents, by the guardians, by the communities that they grew up in. Either they were affected in a positive way or in a negative way. Okay? And so they were all affected. And then when you come to the New Testament, you know, these scriptures switch it up. They change up the game. A warning comes with these scriptures, and a blessing comes with these scriptures. For instance, in Matthew 10:42, it says, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, who is my disciple? Truly I tell you that that person will certainly not lose their reward. And we know from Ephesians chapter 6, and we know from other places in the Word of God where God has instructed us to train up children in the way they should go, and perhaps when they're old, not even perhaps, when they're old, they won't depart from it. In other words, you've given them a foundation that they can stand on throughout life, and we've seen many examples of that. But here it speaks about a reward for doing something for the little ones. One time I was in regards to somebody who was working with kids, and the question came up, what will the Lord do for somebody who dedicates their lives to the betterment of children? All you need to do is read the Bible to see how God feels about children, and you can tell what the Lord will do for that person. What the better question probably would be, what wouldn't the Lord do for a person who's passionate about, dedicates their life to the betterment of children? Amen. Here it is spoken of just a cup of cold water. That's a little thing, okay? But to the person receiving it, it's a big thing, okay? But the point is Jesus wants to bless us for doing the best we can for these little ones. Again, in the context, before somebody try to break out an email and send it to me and say, he was talking about all God's children being little children, okay? But when he says train up a child, he is not talking about an adult. He is talking about an adult doing that. And so if the Lord promises a reward for just a cup of cold water to one of his little ones, how much more, okay, will he do for somebody who does way more than giving just a cup of cold water but dedicates their life to? And people do it all the time, okay? And so we can do it. you've heard me say it before. Whenever you step into the presence of a child, you've just become their teacher. You're going to impart to them whether you open your mouth or not. If they're paying attention to you, they're going to study your actions. If your actions are the actions of Christ, if you are mimicking Jesus Christ in front of them, well, guess what? You just taught them about Christ without opening your mouth. You literally did the 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12 things. Quiet life, mind your own business, work with your own hands, get the respect of them little kids. You just taught them how to do something. They probably heard somebody say something to you out of the way, but you taught them how to respond properly and not ignorantly. Somebody road raged you. You taught them how not to road rage back. You taught them literally what Romans chapter 12 says when it says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." Do not repay evil with evil. You didn't repay evil with evil, but you repaid evil with good. You repaid evil with kindness, because that is, after all, how it says over there, that you overcome evil. Overcome evil with what? More evil? No, kindness. So whenever we're in the presence of children, we have the opportunity, and we are imparting to them, whether we're being verbal or nonverbal. We're telling them something, but what are we telling them? Now, there are some warnings here about how we affect these little ones. Again, in all those Old Testament passages, those little ones were affected positively or negatively by the adults around them, by the culture around them. Okay? But here in the New Testament, they're the warnings. If anyone calls us one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for that person to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea, not the creek, not the pond, not the lake, not the river, but the sea. I was in the Navy. I don't think it's a bottom to the sea. Amen? Jesus says it would be better for you to tie a big giant Gibraltar rock around your neck and go swimming with it in the sea. The warning that he hands out to those who hurt the little ones. So if we are imparting to them every single time we come into their presence, are we causing them to stumble? Are we teaching little kids how to cuss? Are we teaching them how to lie by saying, "Hey, tell them I ain't here"? What are we teaching them? Or do we believe we're teaching them something, or are we so just that out of it that we don't even think that we're teaching them something when we tell them to lie? And then we turn around and get mad at them when they lie to us. And sometimes we have the nerve to say, "Who taught you how to do that?" And how do we feel when they say, that's like that moment David had when Nathan came in a year later and told him about that thing with Bathsheba. And David had said all these things are supposed to happen to the man who did that. And then he asked Nathan, "Who is the man?" Nathan said, "You the man." Well, then David had a whole different idea after that. Think about the little children you've been around this week. What did you teach them? Did you impart something good to them so that the Lord will reward you? Or did you teach them something that you're going to have to teach them out of later? Or did you teach them something the Lord is going to have to teach them out of later? See to it that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, the angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. See that you do not despise these little. To despise them means to tease them other than what God would want you to teach them, long story short. To treat them in a way other than God would want you to treat them. despising them? Have you despised any children this week? You know, one time I was talking with a young man, and the young man told a story about how this girlfriend he had, and the young man said he loved her. And then the young man was challenged by being asked, was asked this question: if you love her, then why are you kissing and hugging on her, trying to convince her to sin against me by having sex outside of marriage? What are you teaching them? Amen. Don't despise the little ones. Don't cause them to sin. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. Now, in context, it goes on to say, and if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, we don't want to do anything to cause God's little ones to wander off. We want them to come closer to God. We want to do everything we can to draw them closer to him. We don't want to cause them to stumble. We should look at them as the Lord looks at them. You see, when the Lord looked at Martin Luther King when he was in that hospital and they had just been born, and they took, you know, they take you and put you in that little room, people come look at you through the glass, the Lord saw a civil rights leader. And so everybody around him, from the time he left that hospital till the time he started marching, contributed to him, the things that helped him to become that civil rights leader. That's how we should look at children when we see them. We should see what God sees, or try to. I know everybody who looked at Reverend Abernathy and Reverend Young and even Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, when they looked at them as little kids, do you think they saw civil rights leaders? When they looked at that little girl, Rosa Parks, do you think they saw a civil rights leader? When they looked at little Medgar Evers playing stickball, do you think they saw a civil rights leader? When we look at these kids, we don't know what we're looking at. All we seem to concentrate it on is what we see right now. But they might be a little rambunctious. They might be a little high energy. That's because God got a high energy future for them. So we want to impart something to them that's going to help them in the future. Amen? Because they do have one. Nobody comes here. Barack Obama was not born grown. Some folks imparted good. Some folks imparted bad. His father was a Muslim. His mother was white. He ended up being raised by his grandparents. Later on, he meets Michelle. But can you imagine what was poured into him from his childhood up? Somebody poured enough in him to want to become a community activist. And that's what he did. That was his claim to fame. A senator for 1 year and then become president of the United States. One term. Senator, two-term president. We need to look at these kids the way God looks at them. We need to feel about them like Anna felt and like Simeon felt in Luke chapter 2 when they were waiting for the consolation of Israel. And every day was a day of waiting to see Jesus. And all, you know what they saw? They didn't see a 30-year-old Jesus in his public ministry. They saw a baby when he was brought to be dedicated at the temple by his parents. They saw a baby. But they knew this baby. The hopes of all Israel and the world were on this baby. It was like Moses' mother when she looked at him and saw that he was no ordinary child. She saw some future in that boy. What do you see when you look at kids? Bad little kids, little walking toothaches, get on your last nerve, know how to fight it in 2 seconds. You don't know who you're looking at. You have no idea. There are too many different areas in this life that God has sent them here to take them into. The reason they're around you is so you can impart something in them, in their foundation, that's going to help them to build a big old life. I heard Kathy talking about Shania's father, who the Lord called home suddenly. No worries. Why? Because when he was here, he poured out. His wife poured out. And now is he going off to California to start a new career, carrying Jesus all the way with her and letting Jesus supercharge that education. Then brought them both together, did like the Hebrew boys, raised up in the way that she was supposed to be raised, right? And so the spiritual was there and the secular was there, and now they're going together. And like Joseph, who knows how far God's going to take her? Because look, when God got a hold of you, there's no telling how far you can go. Joseph didn't need to be anybody. But God made him somebody, somebody that we talk about today. So when you look at these kids, when you think about these kids, we're going to, just like these 15 verses, we're going to have an effect on these little ones in a positive or negative way. And so we need to be conscious of that. All the time when we see them around us, what can I teach them? What can I show them without even opening my mouth? And if I do open my mouth, will I impart something to them that they'll talk about? How many of us talk about later in life, in this part of life? We probably didn't like it when they were teaching it to us, but now that we're grown, how many of us are glad and remember what our parents said? When my mama used to tell me, my daddy used to tell me, my uncles used to tell me, my auntie used to tell me, my brothers and sisters, and now we're grown. And y'all know when you hear me preach, I go way back. I remember the things that people said to me. It didn't make no sense to me when they said, like my father, a duck always needs his bill more than once. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever that means. Oh, but when I had borrowed some money from him and I went back to borrow some more, he wouldn't let me have none. You know why? Because I didn't pay him back the money I borrowed before. A duck always needs his bill more than once. He would say that to you when you borrow money from him. I didn't find out till I didn't pay him back what that meant. Here he is again, duck. But your bill tore up. You can't eat nothing. I learned real quick how to pay people back because I might have to come back. So what are we imparting to these kids, to these little ones? You know, like the members of Running for Christ Ministries, and I'll stop. I look at every one of them in that light. I don't care about their bad stuff. Everybody is a sinner. It's too easy to see bad. But what does Jesus have planted in them? Why are they here at Running for Christ? how is God going to bless this church through them? So for me, they all look like great possibilities. And I have great expectations of each and every one of them, especially the kids, because they're going to be the ones pastoring. They're going to be the ones being deaconess and deacons. They're going to be the new executive board. We can't stay here forever. They're going to have to walk in these shoes. And so if we impart to them, then they'll you know, we're already getting them ready for these shoes. That's what you do. You start working with them now, so when the time comes, they can just slide right into that position. Yeah. Like Sarah had no idea that she was being groomed to become the youth pastor of Running for Christ Ministry. She didn't know that. You know, Janice was being trained and groomed by all kinds of teachers to be the senior teacher at Running for Christ Ministries. She didn't know that, and the people who were training and teaching her had no idea she was going to become that and teacher of her own women's ministry. So you got to pour. You never know what God's going to do. And how do you feel when you were one of those folks that poured into Martin Luther King? And you actually saw the fruit of your labor. The little part you played had produced that. See, that's good stuff right there. Because when you get home to be with Jesus, he saw all of that. He heard every word. He saw every positive thing you did to try to make some young person's life better. Now they might not. If they don't come out right, it ain't your fault. It ain't like Jesus didn't tell the rich young ruler about how to get to heaven. He didn't accept that that was on him. But Jesus did tell him how to get there. He just chose to go do something else. Okay. I am preached out. Before I really start preaching, and you had to get Sharon on here to cut me off.
you could bag that one up for a Sunday sermon. I love that. That was so encouraging. That was a very encouraging message. Appreciate that. Yes, sir.
I could tell when the fire hits. That's when I start banging on things and. And the emotions start getting involved and all of that. That's right. And I used to hear preachers say, I feel my help coming. And I used to crack up like, wow, you didn't feel your help at the beginning. But I think I know what they are talking about now.
Now you know.
And now I know. You keep on living, you learn.
Keep on living, that's for sure.
Because I used to crack up when they said that. So you mean you're in the middle of your sermon and you just now feeling the Holy Spirit? No, it wasn't just now. It's just that it's like revving the gas. The car was running, but now the Holy Spirit is stomping on the gas and revving it up.
Yeah, Pastor, it'll take
long.
They're going to be, and like you said, sitting in those seats and in our shoes and taking our place and all of that. And I do remember everything my parents said to me, you know, and one of the most important things that I remember is kill people with kindness. And I love that. And that has just been my thing that I try to do for sure, just be kind to people. My mother used to just kill people with kindness. That's all.
That's it. And actually, they were quoting scriptures. We just didn't know it. That is right out of Romans chapter 12. That is straight out of Romans chapter 12, the one we read all the time. Take not vengeance as mine, saith the Lord. Don't repay evil with evil. Defeat evil with goodness. That's kill it with kindness.
Mm-hmm. I love it. It works for me. Yes. So, thank you, Pastor. As always, that was very encouraging. Just gives you something to just keep going, you know. I'm not going to give up. Everybody need encouraging. That's for sure.
When he gave this to me, I'm like, Lord, there are 15 verses here. How long are we preaching? 3 days? He said, no, we'll get through all of them real quick. But the point was we can have an effect on these children one way or another. Positive, good, because the Lord has a reward for you. Negatively, the Lord has a warning for you. He don't need you to do that. And when you being negative toward them, you're upsetting what he's doing in a positive way for them. So you set yourself at odds with the Lord. And so, yeah, the more crazier they are, them seem to be the people Jesus get. The more off they are, those be the ones he call in, like Paul and like Peter and, you know, like Moses, the murderer, and Abraham can't remember his wife is his wife, and that's my sister. Y'all can have her, just don't kill me. I really wonder how he could pull that off, but he did it. Well, like Jacob, lied to his father when Isaac asked him, how did you catch that deer so quick and get it all cooked up and get it in here? And Jacob said, the Lord your God, he hooked me up. Here I am. So, yeah, we can be funny at times, but when it comes to these kids, God is real serious.
And that millstone is pretty heavy. It's bigger than heavy. It's gonna put you in the sea. You go.
I'm telling you. I know. I'm telling you. This is you know. I used to want 1 million members when the Lord was talking to me. But boy, I'm telling you, if you got 10 of them and they all call in one day, you'll quickly change your mind. Because you can end up on the phone for 20 hours. If you just talk to each one, there's only 10 of them, you talk to each one for 2 hours, and you're on the phone for 20 hours.
Awesome. Thank you. Everybody has just so much good information today. Excellent show. I miss it when we don't come on. And we're just busy every day, you know, working with the kids and, you know, doing what we do and trying to think of new things and new ideals. And that was a lot of good information. And you know, just look forward to keep on doing the best that we can for our youth. You know, want to see changes. Yeah, here we are. So thank everybody. Congratulations again, Grandma Latham. Congratulations on your new grandson. We'll be praying for him that he gets come home real, real soon so you could spoil him. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. All minds clear. Anything, any other announcements that we need to make? Let's see. Pastor, you got church in the morning?
Oh, yes, indeed. We got Pastor Terrence Tate going to be bringing the word tomorrow. That service starts at 10 a.m. Same number you call to get here is the same number you get there. Okay, and then there's Sunday I'll be preaching, but we're going to start with Sunday school. Pastor Janice Tate will be teaching. That's at 9 a.m., and then we'll start our worship service at 10 a.m. I will be preaching God's Grace is Sufficient. And then, of course, we have a Monday class that's coming up. We're going to be reading Chapter 2, and the questions will be on the back table at church. We're going to be talking about the resurrection, I believe it is. Oh, no, the corruption, the beginnings of the corruption of the church. We're going to get into that. That's what we'll be into on Monday as we look into the Bible, God's word to us. For more information on everything I just said, all you need to do is go to rfcm.org, rfcm.org, and all the information you need is right there.
Okay. Yeah, we got a new book, The Bible, God's Word to Us. This past Monday we did chapter 1, and that was the preservation in, the preservation of and the corruption of God's Word, right?
And right.
And then this week, Monday comes, we're going to be doing the reformation of the church began.
The reformation of the church begins, because you need both of those to work together. You need a reformed Bible. You need a reformed church, because you know all the stuff that we talked about last week, the corruptions, and now we're going to look at the reformation. And once you get a reformed church, now you have a reformed church that's ready to receive a reformed Bible. So, yeah, we got some steps to go. Oh, yeah, also, we're going to be celebrating 21 years at Running for Christ Ministries all this month. Every Sunday, every Saturday, we're going to be selling 21 years of what Jesus has done through all of us at Running for Christ Ministries to get it to where from there to where we are now. Amen. That's always good.
I'm glad I've been a part of that. 21 years. Congratulations, Pastor O and Sister Chibi Sheila. We got Baby Holy Ghost.
Baby Holy Ghost.
Congratulations. Well deserved. Okay. Well, as always, so thank you, everybody. And as always, we have lots of work to do. We'll see you. And I miss this, the Fridays that we're not going to come on. I really miss it, but we need that time to recharge and do the other things that we need to do that we're doing on the ground for the youth. So we take that 1 week off. So we're doing this show every other Friday. So we won't be back next Friday, but we'll be back the following Friday. And we look forward to that because we have work to do. You got it? Okay, so tell somebody about Bring Back the Family. Tell somebody about this show. Do something on your block for the youth so that they can have what they need, okay? All right, that's it. Okay, that's it. That's all. We got work to do. Let's do it.